See, this hearing about Krishna has a lot of potency. It is discussed in the Bhagavatam. What happens when you hear about Krishna? Krishna actually enters the heart when you hear about him, and he himself removes the dirt and contaminations in the form of material desires. Krishna becomes attracted when devotees sit together and talk about him. He wants to see what is going on, and he wants to hear what is discussed. So in many of these Krishna Kathas, and I hope to do this after some time, devotees prepare a seat actually for Krishna, so that it's assumed we are doing Krishna Katha, Krishna will come, so we should give him a seat so that he can comfortably sit with all of us and listen to us. Hare Krishna! Shri Dhammaya Puki Jai! Hare Krishna. He is a pilgrim who just came from Shri Dhammayapur. Prabhupada himself once gave a lecture in Los Angeles where he talked in a very, very nice way about what happens when you hear Krishna Katha. He talks about that there was a professional thief who came to this assembly of Krishna Katha, thinking, oh, here are many people, they must have brought their money with them, so let me steal. Maybe at this moment there is also one or two professional thieves amongst us, and he will think, oh, these people are just listening to the man with the microphone. This is a good stealing opportunity. I only meet one person here, another person there, but here I meet 50 people. It's a very good harvesting opportunity. So Prabhupada talks about this thief who thought like this. Well, he thought these are ideal conditions for stealing. All these people have their consciousness somewhere else. They don't think of their pockets. So let me do some pickpocketing. But as he was amongst the different, as he listened with half a ear to the katha, his heart was changed and he developed the desire to meet Krishna. And Prabhupada talks about this. Would you like to hear this? Yes. Good. There is a story in this connection. It is very instructive. Try to hear. There was this one professional reciter. He was reading the Bhagavata and he was describing that Krishna, who was highly decorated with so many jewels, went to herd the cows in the forest. So in this meeting where this professional Bhagavat speaker was talking, there was a thief. He thought, why not then go to Vrindavan and plunder this boy? He's in the forest with so many valuable jewels. He's all by himself. So I can go there and catch the child and take all his jewels. That was his intention. He was serious. I must find that boy. Then in one night, I shall become a millionaire. So many jewels I get. So he went there. He had this one qualification. I must see Krishna. I must see Krishna. That anxiety, that eagerness made it possible that he came to Vrindavan and saw Krishna. He saw Krishna exactly in the same way in which he was informed by the Bhagavata reader. He saw, "Oh my God, you are such a nice boy, Krishna." So he began to flatter. He thought, "When I flatter him, I take all the jewels." And then Prabhupada starts to laugh. So when he proposed his real business to Krishna, "So, may I take some of your ornaments? You are so rich." Krishna answered, "No, no, 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 no. My mother will be angry. I cannot give you anything." Krishna was a child. So the thief became more and more eager for Krishna. And then, by Krishna's association, he became purified. At last, Krishna said, "All right, you can take my jewels." Then the thief became a devotee immediately by Krishna's association. I've read this many times to many assemblies of devotees because it so nicely describes the result which can happen if we patiently hear Krishna Katha. What happens is that we become attached to Krishna. And this attachment, or you could say eagerness, is what will move us forward on our path, so that one day we will actually be able to meet Krishna face to face. So we will hear now more about Akrura, who went to see Krishna in Vrindavan. We will meditate a little bit like Akrura, and we will hopefully become more attached to Krishna. I want to affectionately greet the devotees from Radhadesh who have already come today. We expected you only tomorrow. You're welcome today also, don't worry. Please feel welcome. We are trying to move the atmosphere up and already... I'm talking all day to devotees in my little room, and my room is just above the, it's somewhere here. So most of the time, my chair is moving like this because the kirtan is so intense and the vibration is very strong up there. I have the best room in the universe. I hear the kirtan. I'm rocking on my chair. But what I see as I talk to many of you and asked my questions to you, I see how the heart is already becoming purified. And instead of so much attachment to material life, all of us start to become attached to Krishna. It's very easy to preach in this little room because everyone who comes there is moved by the kirtan and by the atmosphere. And the hearts are so purified and they're coming closer to Krishna. This is what we want to do in this Sangha Mela. We want to come close to Krishna. All right. So are you ready now? Good. I'm a little bit worried about the smallest of our guests who is talking at the moment. But maybe they're from Russia and they don't hear, understand anyways anything. So, who is the parent of the child? Please raise your hand. Ram Gopal, I didn't know that. Sorry. It's sometimes difficult to stay informed. We have a room. Mataji, please, we have a room in the library. You can hear everything and at the same time play with the child. It is an enhanced room. It's in the library. So, oh, danke, danke. Oh my God. Krishna Katha and Roses. I would like to invite all of you to come with us to Vrindavan. Let us meditate on Akura's journey on his golden chariot and be with him as he goes to Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Please sing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So, Hare Krishna. Akrura is sitting on the chariot and is moving towards Vrindavan. And he's very happy because he feels that a great burden is taken from him. All of us here in this world carry a heavy burden. It's like a backpack full of granite stones, and this burden is the reactions of our sinful activities. Someone who has a light burden looks very happy and bright. Someone who has a big burden, a heavy burden, looks very old and frustrated. Hare Krishna. You can see when you look at people's faces, if they carry a big burden or a light burden. When they are relatively free from sinful reactions, they look bright, encouraging, inspiring. But when they are so full of sinful reactions, they look like the people in the newspapers. Once Prabhupada, he looked at Times magazine, and he said, "Don't look in these magazines. They make the material world appear so real." And he also said, "These people carry such a heavy burden with them, the burden of their sinful reaction." So Akrura is traveling on the road towards Vrindavan, and he addresses this point. He says, "Today all the burden of my sinful reactions have been eradicated, and my birth has become worthwhile, because I will offer my obeisances to the Supreme Lord. Do you know what happens each time you go down, mister? Do you know what happens to you each time you come into the temple room? Do you know what happens when you see the deities and you pay your obeisances? When you are down on the ground, all your burdens of many lifetimes, they just slip from your shoulders in the ground and disappear. This is what happens by pranam." Srila Rupa Goswami quotes this verse in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that by bowing down to Krishna, the sinful reactions are leaving the person. It is said, this happens especially when you go to a place of pilgrimage like Goloka Dham. The moment you decide to go there, the sinful reactions which are gathering in your feet, they know, soon we will walk on spiritual ground like Vrindavan. And then they quickly, the sinful reactions say, we want to stay with this person. So they move up into his hair. Therefore, a pilgrim, when he comes to a place of pilgrimage, should immediately cut his hair so that the sinful reactions who try to hide and want to avoid that they are kidnapped are cut. I don't know what Matajis should do. I guess it's not such a big problem. Keep your hair, you know. You need to bow down at the holy place. And we will see a little later how Akrura gives an example how to bow down at a holy place and how he does it. But for now, I just want to repeat how Akrura feels jubilant, more and more jubilant as the horses take him to Vrindavan, because he feels, wow, the sinful reactions are moved away from me just by me coming closer and closer and closer to Krishna in the holy Dham. Then Akrura begins to, he starts to actually meditate. This is very important. When you want to make advancement in your spiritual life, you need to learn the art of meditation. Because by meditation, you invite Krishna into your heart. And when Krishna comes into your heart, and he walks there, he will remove all the inner darkness. There's outer darkness, especially now in the months of December, January, but this outer darkness is not as dangerous as the inner darkness which we have. In outer darkness, we sometimes have difficulties to see the path. But what happens when we have an inner darkness, the darkness of ignorance in our heart, then we do not know what path of life we should take. And that's dangerous. To not know how to move in, you know, should I move right or left? You even can take... Thank you. You're extremely kind, and I will now keep this rose as your present. If you... Well, this came from the altar. It is full of drops of Krishna's mercy. I will give it to you afterwards. Krishna. You know, the outer darkness you can dispel by lamps like this or by your mobile telephone and so on. But what will you do against the inner darkness? Will you take a lamp or your mobile telephone? Doesn't work. You need the torchlight of transcendental knowledge, or you need to know how to meditate. And today I will talk about the second thing. Now, first of all, I want to ask you, want to bring you to a discussion. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this discussion was talking with Ramananda Roy and asking him questions. Ramananda Roy would answer these questions and give the answer back to the Lord. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, out of many types of meditation, you know, silent meditation, visual meditation, active meditation, out of many types of meditation, which is required for all living entities? And Srila Ramananda Roy replied, the chief duty of every living entity, it's a duty, is to meditate upon the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. This is a duty. Prabhupada, he said something about this type of meditation. He said, you can control the mind when you fix up the mind on Krishna's lotus feet. That's all. No nonsense can come within your mind. Simply Krishna. That is the perfection of meditation. So as Akura is on the way to Vrindavan, he starts to meditate like the mystic yogis do about... He makes a typical devotee meditation. Meditation which we can practice every day as members of the Hare Krishna movement. The meditation is like this. You must meditate about the effulgence coming from the lotus feet of Krishna. Can you see these two? This is the lotus feet of Krishna. These are the lotus feet of Radharani. And they have a certain effulgence. This effulgence is good enough or is powerful, to remove the inner darkness in your heart. The darkness which comes from this ignorance, the darkness which manifests in your misunderstandings about who you are, and the misunderstanding about what is the right sadhana to reach the goal, Krishna. This inner darkness goes just by meditating about the light which comes from Krishna's lotus feet. I really want to congratulate our Vaijajanti, who has today had an inspiration how to bring to our mind the effulgence which is coming from the lotus feet of Krishna. I sometimes think when we are in our movement that, the devotees are sometimes instructed to move all their attention to activities, you know, do this, do that, build this, make this project. and so on. This is all very valuable. It must be done. We are a movement which wants to benefit others. But if we only learn to go outside with our attention, we might lose ourselves. We have to also learn to go inside into our heart and see the lotus feet of Krishna. Why does a devotee start to meditate when he thinks of God about his lotus feet? There's a certain reason. We, as conditioned souls, operate in three dimensions. But Krishna, who is transcendental, is in the Tuya of fourth dimension. He's above us. Can you please look at the ceiling? You see there, when someone is above you, his feet are also above you, right? So Krishna is in the fourth dimension. He walks above you. And if you want to know him, you must look first at his feet. Is it clear? You all are going like, wow, we got the point, Maharaj. Krishna is in the fourth dimension, my dear devotees. He's beyond time and space and our little world. And what the closest part of Krishna's transcendental body is what? His lotus feet, yes. Yes, you can see there are even lotuses. So if you want to think about Krishna, start with his lotus feet. Today, Vaichajanti, we are one team. This is a very important understanding. Now, when you meditate about Krishna's lotus feet, it's not that you, that you just think about the feet of the Lord. No, but one part of Krishna's body, for instance, the feet, are implying the rest of his body. That means his calves, his knees, his belly and the little line which comes from his nail and goes up like black bees, the garland, and more than anything his beautiful smiling face. I can imagine the Lord is smiling at us as we look at his feet in the fourth dimension, the Tuya dimension there. When you think about Krishna's lotus feet, it's not an isolated meditation, but it is a complete meditation because he's there. And there is a reason for this. See, when we are very polite with someone, then we don't say, "O Jai Krishna, from where have you come?" This would be a little rude. We would express more politely, "O Jai Krishna, from where have your lotus feet come?" We would say like this. And he would say, my lotus feet have come from London. I mean, most probably you wouldn't refer to your feet as lotus feet. But, on our side, when we're very polite, we will say, we won't ask so, "Where have you come? Where were you last?" We say, "Where have your lotus feet come?" Or when we invite someone to our house and to our apartment, we would not say, if you're very polite in the Vedic culture, "Oh, please come to my apartment." We would say, "Please put your lotus feet in my apartment." We would say like this. I know some Vaishnavas in Vrindavan who are very scholarly, and when they invite me, they always say, "Oh, Shochinandan Swami, please bring your lotus feet into my humble kutir." You know, that means they don't want to cut my feet from the rest of the body and eat them or do something. And anyways, Hare Krishna, it should. They obviously think the whole person should come and, you know, and come to the house. So when we think of Krishna's lotus feet, we actually think of the whole Lord. And the way we think about Him is about His qualities, what the Lord does when He comes to our heart. As you see, our temple room is becoming more and more spiritual. What you see there are the impressions which you can find on Krishna's lotus feet. When we were in Mayapur, we meditated actually during the Kirtan Academy sessions on a goat. Goat heißt ein Treibstock. A goat which is used by an elephant Mahout, who is directing the movements of the elephant by just taking this stick and poking behind the ear. And then the elephant, when the Mahout makes like this, he knows he has to go left. When the Mahout does like this, he knows he has to go to the right side. So Krishna's lotus feet have, amongst other signs, a little stick with a little pokey top there. And this means that Krishna is directing the mind of his devotees, which are sometimes as uncontrollable as wild elephants. He's directing them patiently on the path of Krishna consciousness. So I would love to make a little meditation with you about the lotus feet of the Lord. The same meditation which Akrura does while he is on the way to Vrindavan. Are you interested to do this?
Yes.
Good. That's very good. So I request you now to sit a little straight, because we will now meditate and it is easier. Technique in Goloka Dham is as unpredictable as the technique in Vrindavan Dham. So there's some similarity. Akura is saying, indeed, today King Kamsa has shown me extreme mercy. He has sent me to see the lotus feet of Lord Hari, who has now appeared in this world. Hari has come from the Turiya dimension, the transcendental dimension in which he walks, and he has actually put his lotus feet in this world. Simply by the effulgence which comes from his toenails, many souls in the past have transcended the insurmountable darkness of material existence and achieved liberation. My dear devotees, I request you now to close your eyes. Take a few deep breaths. Let the day come to peace. You saw many things today. You heard many things. But now we will come to a peaceful situation. I request you to now see in your mind's eye a dark night, and inside the night a beautiful moon. A moon who has a silvery light, in fact an orb. Orb means like a halo, a circle of light around. Akura here says that many souls in the past have transcended the insurmountable darkness of material existence simply by thinking about the effulgence which comes from the toenails of Krishna. These toenails are like moons in the night. There's not one moon, there are 10 moons. So we will now chant a little, sing a little. And as we sing, we are thinking about a night. And in the night, the moon comes with a circle of light. These are the lotus feet of Krishna. If it is too difficult for you to visualize this, you can just look at the beautiful tablets with Radha and Krishna's lotus feet, which are illumined by the light coming from them. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. If it is too difficult for you to see the lotus feet of the Lord, you can think of the lotus feet of Radha Madan Mohan. They are transcendental. They are beyond all of our little insignificant ant-like world. And they are full of light, which chase away the darkness of our ignorance. Please sing now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. The light of the feet, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. One more time, please. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare
Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama
Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna,
Hare
Hare, time, please sing. Hare Krishna,
Hare
Krishna, Krishna 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 Krishna,
Hare
are informed that we have a wonderful playroom for the children where the children can really enjoy the ecstasies of different plays and games. It must be very cold outside and very unpleasant for the children. So Akrura thinks about one particular meditation. He thinks about the, it is called the Nakamandala Tvisha. Tvisha means rays, and the rays of light which form a mandala, a circle around the nakas. The nakas means the nails of Krishna's lotus feet. So this is something which we can all start in our daily life, maybe doing kirtan to do. We can start to chant and think in our mind about the light from Krishna's lotus feet, and more specific from his toenails. See, when you chant like this, or when you live like this, you feel some relationship with Krishna. Some rasa, it's called, bhakti rasa, which will enliven your spiritual life. I have talked with many of our kirtan leaders, and we are worried if the devotees just sing, but they don't connect their singing with Krishna, they might not find some rasa, especially when the throat doesn't work any longer. There must be some relationship with Krishna while you sing, some devotional feelings, so that your singing becomes enlivened and stops to be desert singing and starts to become mango juice singing. That's very important, my dear devotees. Bhakti has to have a rasa, a taste, a mellow, like honey has a certain mellow, because only when there is bhakti performed with this taste by the devotee is Krishna attracted. No? So if you want to attract Krishna to your heart, you must perform your bhakti with some rasa, some thinking, some nectar. And I usually, what I do since many years, I think about one of the signs on Krishna's lotus feet. At the moment, I like the line. It's an curving line. Do we have that? No, it will come. It is just coming tomorrow. A line which is in the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. This means that those who are catching the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna, they are like drowning people who catch a lifeline, and they will be pulled for shore out of the material ocean. It means also that Krishna is so merciful that his mercy goes down to the bottom of material life, where we are, right on in the mud, you know, and his lotus feet are coming down and offering us a possibility to hold on to the lifeline of his mercy and become delivered. But it also means, and I'm meditating about this since quite some time, just like a line is a very precise border, huh? The lotus feet of Radha Madan Mohan show a very exact path, which is as slim and precise like a razor's edge. You have to walk it. If you walk a little to the left or right, or if you slip, you may cut yourself, and it may not be very good for your spiritual life. So stay on the line, we say. Keep the path in front of your eyes and walk it, following the footsteps of the Mahajanas, the great ones. That is what this means. And as you meditate like this on the different how do you say, signs of Krishna. You become inspired. Just for instance, look there. There is this most beautiful fish which looks like the embodiment of all the beautiful qualities which you find in the fish. No? On the left side, can you see it? No. It means just like the fish cannot exist out of water, your mind cannot exist in happiness without thinking of Krishna. This reminds us. These signs remind us. They are very, very powerful signs. So, Akruraji thinks these lotus feet are worshipped by Brahma and Shiva and Goddess Lakshmi. Do you know Brahma has always this pot, water pot? Do you know what he has in the water pot? It's not a modern thermos, it's a kamandalu. He has the water which comes, which is washed from Krishna's feet by the Mother Ganga. And he keeps that purifying water. And if he gives life to someone, like for instance Hiranyakashipu, who meditated and was dried out like a stick, the first thing Brahma did, according to the Bhagavatam, he took water from that kamandalu and sprinkled it over the dead, almost dead body of Hiranyakashipu and electrified him. This is how beautiful Krishna's feet is. Brahma worships them. Shiva always keeps the water of Mother Ganga, which has washed the lotus feet of the Lord, on his head. It's always like a little thing coming here. So our Akrura meditates, I will see soon the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, which has been, which is worshipped by Brahma and Shiva and by Lakshmi. This day, now this year, Gaurahari and Vaijajanti invited us to a boat ride on the Yamuna, and we went, amongst other places, to Lakshmivan, the forest of Mother Lakshmi. There, Lakshmi is sitting and meditating since a long, long time on the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Her desire is to cross the Yamuna and go to Vrindavan and see these lotus feet dancing in the rasa dance and whirling the dust of Braj. So she wants to see that, but up till now she has not been successful. She's still meditating in the Lakshmivan. And especially at this time of the year, the compassionate Brijvasis come there with pots full of khichdi to give Lakshmi these khichdi pots so that she is not starving. And they bless her. Maybe one day you can cross the Yamuna and see Krishna's lotus feet. So everyone wants to be in contact with Krishna's lotus feet. This is the idea. And Akrura, therefore, meditates very, very nicely about these lotus feet. But as he meditates on the lotus feet of the Lord, he goes up. You know, we meditate from the lotus feet. And remember, the lotus feet imply the whole body. So Akrura goes up in his meditation and comes to the lotus face of Lord Mukunda. He sees a particular beautiful scene in his heart. He sees the lotus face of Krishna framed by the beautiful locks of hair. He sees the beautiful cheeks of Krishna, the nose, which is a little bit upward pointing. And then Akrura meditates about the smiling lotus eyes of the Lord. It is said from all meditations about Krishna to meditate about Krishna's smile. You know how his lips are moving, and then they're open a little, and you see the pearl-like teeth, which built such a nice contrast to his bimba red lips. You know, bimba fruit is a very red fruit. It has a little bit like this, you know, very beautiful shiny red. And Krishna's lips are like this, and inside them, when they open, you can see the beautiful pearl-like teeth, and that meditation Akura has. He says very ecstatically, "Surely I shall see the face of Lord Mukunda." Now, he says, that face is framed by his curly hair. It is beautified by his attractive cheeks and nose, and his smiling glances and his reddish lotus eyes. So this is the topmost meditation which a devotee can do. He starts with the lotus feet and then goes to the lotus face of Lord Krishna. Now you might ask yourself a question. How is Akura so sure that he will actually be able to see the lotus face of Krishna? Akura is sure because he knows the art of reading signs. He says, it must be here, "Surely I shall see the face of Lord Mukunda, since the deer are now walking past me on my right side." You can imagine, Akura is coming with this chariot, and it's a loud, loud chariot. It's made of solid gold, so when the wheels roll, there is no BMW, you know, special Federungssystem, and so on. It is quite noisy, you know. But still, is not one deer or two deers. There are herds of deers, and they look at Akura. They don't run away. They have their big, big lotus eyes or deer eyes on him. And Akura says, "Wow, these deers are passing on my right side. That's a very good sign." We know in our Western civilization some signs, for instance, in our car. When our car runs dry, there is a little thing which goes beep, 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 beep. It looks like a gasoline thing, you know, where you mount a gasoline pump. And you know, oh, ho, 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 I have 60 more kilometers. I have more benzene for 60 more kilometers, but then I'm dry. Then I stop. So there are other signs. For instance, when children are noisy, it's a sign that they are not well taken care of. And sensitive people know, we better take care of the children. Those who know, they can read the whole world by different signs. Or you can see someone, signs in people's faces, and you can read them. But did you know that the whole cosmic creation is full of signs, and if you know to read them, you will never make a mistake in your life. For instance, one sign is when high-class animals like horses, camels are not high-class, or deers are walking by your right side, At that time you should know when you are a man that only auspicious things happen. When these high animals, if you are a lady, and they go, then they have to pass by your left side. Or sometimes you feel in your body some little tremor like this. If it happens in the right side of a man, it's a good sign. If it happens on the left side, he should not marry that girl. Hare Krishna. There is a Shastra about this, and I would like to give you an example. You must remember that once Vishvamitra, the yogi, came to the palace of Maharaj Dasharatha, and he asked Lord Rama, he asked Dasharatha, give me your son Rama. There are some demons in my place, and they make so much trouble to me. So Dasharatha said, yes, you can. First he said, no, take my army. My boys should not go with you. But then he said, okay, you can have Ram. So he didn't have a notice of Ram, no word of him, no news of him for something like 2 weeks. Then one morning he felt very restless, and he was walking in the palace garden, and he saw all of a sudden 2 brahmanas with shastras under their arms passing on his right side. And when Dasharatha saw this auspicious sign, he knew Ram is safe, his mission is completed, and most properly he is now in Mithila, and he has just gained the hand of Sita as his rightful wife. So as he was thinking like this, reading the signs on the road, all of a sudden a messenger came. He was coming riding on his horse, and he reported that yes, Ram had defeated all the demons. He went to Mithila, he married Mother Sita, and Janaka Maharaj was so enthusiastic about this connection of the 2 houses, you know, the dynasties, that he offered 3 more daughters, which are now will now be married to Bharata, Lakshman, and Shatrughna. So what I would like to express is that he saw signs on the road. Akura saw signs on the road, and he could read the signs and understood that I will meet Krishna in the evening, and I will have the darshan of his beautiful face, which is just so incredibly attractive. My dear devotees, are there signs in your life which you have maybe not yet understood? I think Krishna speaks to us in form of signs. There is an art in all traditions called divination. It's you read certain signs, and you can make unfallible conclusions from this. I want to point out to you that Krishna is constantly communicating with you in form of signs. Especially he does so when you come to a temple. And for instance, during darshan, when you pray to Krishna, he gives you signs. Maybe a rose comes your way as a confirmation. Or you look at the altar, and I once had to decide on a project. Will I start the project or not? It was a project which there was a lot of Lakshmi involved. And I went to Madan Mohan and said, well, Madan Mohan, should we start this project? Should we buy this new place? And at that moment, the crown of Madan Mohan just slipped down, chup, and he couldn't see any longer. And I understood immediately. Madan Mohan said, if you take this project, it will be a blind project. It won't work. I said, okay, it's clear. And I told the pujari, could you maybe adjust Madan Mohan's crown, please? He shouldn't stand all day like this. There are many, many signs. And I would like to encourage you, especially while you're here, to read the signs. One sign which I always see, you know this, I suffer because in our temples there's always so much distraction. Like when you want to meditate in the Hare Krishna temple, the pots will fly around in the kitchen, and the children will scream and kill each other before the door. And it shows me, whenever I start something which requires peace, oh my God, our movement is not in peace. The heart of the devotees is not in peace. Peace is so difficult to make. We have to change something in our culture so that the devotees can finally become peaceful. I wanted to give you a personal, application of this knowledge which Akura is giving here. Try to read the signs. My dear devotees, if you become a little sensitive in your life and know that Krishna speaks to you through signs, you will really live a wonderful Krishna conscious life, because you will feel the Lord is directing me all the time. Now, I wanted to give another example from Shastra, from Chaitanya Charitamrita. It was about Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. See, the devotees had asked him to write a biography of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why? Why him? Well, he was he lived next to Raghunath Das Goswami, who had seen Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri, and who delivered each day a 4-hour long katha on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the banks of Radhakund. Each afternoon, Raghunath Das Goswami left his kutir. He sat at the bank of Radhakund, and he talked about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was present. So the Vaishnava asked him, could you please write a biography? You have heard so much about Chaitanya's Leela. And he didn't know if he should do it. His doubt was, he was already very old. And he was not capable, physically capable, to write such a huge book. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there appears a verse where he addresses this point. He says, I'm writing this book, but it's a miracle because my eyes are blind. I can't really see what I'm writing. My memory always forgets everything. But still I'm writing. This is a miracle. This must be the blessing of Madan Mohan. Said Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, when he was so much in doubt, should he write or not, had gone to Madan Mohan and prayed to him and had asked, my Lord, you please give me a sign. Should I undertake this writing project, and should I write this literature? And as he was asking this question and looked at Madan Mohan, a garland just fell down from Madan Mohan's neck, and the priest, I think his name was Haridas, took the garland and garlanded Krishnadas Kaviraj. And Krishnadas Kaviraj understood, this is a sign for me. I should now start writing. My dear devotees, once again I want to ask you, are there maybe signs in your life? I can ask, well, what signs, Maharaj? Well, for instance, something which happens very often to devotees is they run into the same situation with the same type of people and the same type of reactions. This could be a sign that the Krishna wants to show them that, see, you are always coming in the same situation. There's always the same result. You are always coming to the same point. Doesn't it mean that you should change something? Or one sign which I think we must learn to obey is when again and again we feel deep dissatisfaction and discontentment in our heart. This means usually that something is not proper in our life. We may not be properly situated, we may lack a service, our association may not be good, and so on. We should learn to observe these signs. So the general rule is, for men, the signs happen on the right side, for ladies, the signs happen on the left side. Hare Krishna. That really works. I saw this, I learned this from our driver G. Mahesh. We were driving from Vashana to Govardhan. I saw something. We were driving on the road and I saw something in the bushes. And the next thing I knew is Mahesh puts on the brakes. The car stops. Mahesh goes, and he says something, Shri Krishna Sharanamaham, Shri Krishna Sharanamaham, Shri Krishna Sharanamaham. Then I didn't see much. I just saw something in the bushes. I didn't know what it is. Then Mahesh says, Jai Radhe, Giriraj Baba Ki Jai, and boom, starts to drive again. And I said, Mahesh, can you please explain to a poor Westerner what just happened? And he says, Shrigal, Shrigal, Shrigal. Shrigal means jackal. There was a jackal on the right side of the street. It's a low-class animal. It means all bad things will happen if you don't take shelter in Krishna. So he stopped his car, went like, Sri Krishna Sharanamaham, like this, three times, and then started to drive. A very practical spirituality. watching the signs. Akruraji here says, surely today I shall see the face of Lord Mukunda. That face is framed by his curly hair, is beautified by his attractive cheeks and nose, his smiling glances and his reddish lotus eyes. I shall see the face of Lord Mukunda since the deer are now walking past me on my right side. And he's meditating. No longer only about the feet. He's now at Krishna's lotus face. And then he sees the whole form. I'm going to see the Supreme Lord Vishnu, the reservoir of all beauty, who by his own sweet will has now assumed a human-like form to relieve the earth of her burden. Thus there is no denying that my eyes will soon achieve the perfection of their existence. This is the beautiful meditation of the devotees of Krishna. I want to encourage you to enter this world, this inner world of treasures which are waiting. I want to encourage you to not be shy, but explore the wealth of our glorious tradition. If you don't do it, there will be a day where you think, oh, Krishna consciousness, there is not enough spirituality for me in it. But if you learn to explore and see what is there, you will become so convinced and so happy that your life will be very, very nice. I will now just ask any one of you. I will ask Nimai. Nimaiji, there are different signs of Krishna's lotus feet. And you, because you sang so nice this afternoon, no, from 1 to 2, I think you chanted. I heard my chair was flying in my room. And you may now choose from the following signs what is of your interest. The umbrella on Radha and Krishna's lotus feet, the thunderbolt on Krishna's lotus feet, or the swastika. What would you like to hear about? The swastika. Okay, because you're in Germany now. Nimai is extremely connected with the country. By the way, these people who dressed in brown shirts and were called die Braunhemden, Nazis. Huh? They got it wrong. They painted it wrong. But the swastika is, it shows, it's on Krishna's lotus feet, it shows, Nimai, that nothing inauspicious can come to one who keeps Krishna's lotus feet in his heart. You will be protected by this sign. Do we have it? On the up there on the feet, you can all stand there. Everything will appear in due course of time. Krishna keeps himself a little hidden at the present moment, in terms of all his signs. So swastika is a generally auspicious sign, and when you meditate about this sign on Krishna's lotus feet, your heart will become filled with auspiciousness, even if you don't pass good, nicely your exam, and you don't have good marks. Meditate before you go into school on the swastika signs, and everything will be auspicious. Maybe you will even pass the exam, but if Krishna thinks it's more auspicious if you fail, then you will fail. In other words, he has his own mind, his own plan, and everything is auspicious for the devotees. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. My dear devotees, my own application with these lotus feet of Lord Krishna, somehow I was always thinking, why the feet? You know, usually when we talk about a person, we don't say your feet are very beautiful. We don't even see them normally. But we say, oh, you have such a beautiful, I don't know how you say it, but your eyes are so bright, or your ears are so large size, how very good. and so on. But we hardly talk about the feet of people, isn't it? Hardly. But why do we talk about Krishna's feet? And why do we say they are lotus feet? The idea of the lotus is that he grows in a murky place, muddy place, but the lotus smells and is above all the dirt and everything. So Krishna may come into this world. He may come even into our heart, but he's never ever influenced by the surroundings of this world, just like the lotus flower is never ever influenced by the somewhat dirty surroundings in which it grows. This is a sweet promise of Krishna to his devotees. He seems to say, think about me and conquer the darkness of your material life. Engage your mind with me and you will grow out of your troubles and transcend them. We could see that we have this beautiful Kirtan Academy. It's like at this time, it's a pandal under some very high and beautiful desire trees in Shida Mayapur. And just next to it is a lake. And this year, I could see what was not visible last year. This year, I could see lotus flowers growing in the lake. And, but that lake, there are also snakes there. And if you come too close, you sink into the mud. But the lotus flowers are always above all of this. So Krishna consciousness, or Krishna, and engaging the mind with Krishna, always helps us to move beyond the troubles of material life. It works immediately. So therefore today we were meditating about the lotus feet. Let us make another attempt. They are here, left and right, Radha and Krishna. And as we sing, you please bring the feet into the heart. And you think how the darkness of the heart will be removed by the light from the nails of Krishna. Maybe.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare
Krishna, 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 Krishna
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, oh, oh, oh. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, Sri Radha.
premanandi hari 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 Sri Krishna ki jai Hare Krishna I want to just end this with a short remark to make you think a little bit. See, what we are now hearing is a certain perspective on Krishna through the eyes of Akrura, who considers himself a servant of Krishna. Now, according to this rasa, this relationship, he sees certain aspects of Krishna. Srimati Radharani, however, as an example of Krishna's greatest devotee in the Madhurya rasa, sees Krishna in a totally different light than Akrura. Once Krishna came to Srimati Radharani because he had seen her during the rasa dance in very novel and exciting ways. And Krishna said, "O Radha, you are the best of dancers. You are much more qualified than me. Can I become your pupil, your student in dance?" Radharani was very excited. Krishna was willing to become her student. Krishna used to always tease Radha. Now he wanted to take the submissive role. Her heart said, "Yes, yes, you can become my student." But there was Lalita next to her. And Lalita thought, "Shyam has so often tricked my very submissive and good-natured Swamini, Srimati Radharani. Who knows what is in his mind?" So Lalita poked her finger at Krishna and said, "You are not qualified enough to become the dance student. How can a frog learn from a peacock? There must be some equal quality for learning. You are not properly qualified." And Krishna felt very dejected inside. It was an approach of him to glorify Srimati Radharani, and yet he was denied. So he went into the forest of Braj. He made with his own hands a deity of Srimati Radharani, and every day he started to dance before the deity of Srimati Radharani. Every day his dancing skills increased, because in the absence of the guru, you can worship the guru's picture, no? We do this every day, no? Or the statue. We have Prabhupada's murti here, and we learn so many things just by concentrating our mind on Srila Prabhupada in this form. So Krishna applied this technique also. He made a form of Srimati Radharani. So once some gopis passed through that part of the forest, and they heard ching a ching 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 a ching 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 ching, and then they heard Krishna's joyful voice shouting tatai tatai. They came and they looked through the foliage of the trees. And they saw Krishna was dancing so nicely. So they came, they went to Radharani and to Lalita. And both Lalita and Srimati Radharani came and watched through the leaves how Krishna had increased his dancing skills so nicely just by learning from the image of Srimati Radharani how to dance. It's like we learned so much from Srila Prabhupada as we worship him in Guru Puja. Radharani was just feasting her eyes on the beauty of Krishna. His dhoti moved like a flash of lightning. His blackish body glittered. It was like almost a mass of black and silver moving around. And Krishna smiled and danced. And then he jumped and he stood. And he said, "I know that you are here, Radha." So Srimati Radharani came out of the forest and Krishna said, "I am only your student, so now where the dance lessons are perfect, I am asking you, what will be the dakshin which I should give you? The remuneration, yeah? You know, the payment for the dance lessons? Guru Dakshin." And Lalita was very, very upset. "What? You have stolen the art of dance from Radha by just tricking Radharani." But inside she smiled and laughed because Krishna was now getting submissive. And Krishna said, Radha was shy. She didn't say anything. Then Krishna said, "The time will come very soon when I will pay back my debt of gratitude to you. And because you have given me the art of dance, I will pay you back with a dance which has never been seen before." And the day came, you remember, Krishna danced where? On moving stages. A good dancer can sometimes dance on a glass. I have seen. You can do. I think maybe Gaura Hari can do. Good dancers dance on all kinds of things. They dance on anything. So Krishna decided, "I will dance on the hoods, the heads of the Kaliya serpent. And I will dance on moving stages." And Krishna danced like, jumped from one head to the next. And when another head came to attack him, he just joyfully danced on top. Originally, he had thought to chastise Kaliya by actually taking the life from him, but then he thought, "No, let me do a dance performance. That is better." And when Radha was there, seeing him dancing on the dangerous hoods of Kaliya's serpent, she understood that is his way, the way of my Krishna, to pay back the dakshin. And then moments later, Krishna invited the gopis and Radharani to come and join him dance on Kaliya. So I wanted to just tell you that from Radha's perspective, Krishna is humorous, clever, joyful, and so on. From Akrura's perspective, Krishna is the master and he is the servant. But for us as conditioned souls who want to approach Krishna, it is best to do this through the rasa of a servant, the dasya rasa, through the eyes of Akrura. And tomorrow we will learn more about Akrura's approach to Krishna and become more fit in Krishna consciousness. I want to thank you very much for joining us this evening. Is it tomorrow? Is it already Sylvester or no? Oh, tomorrow is 31st. the last day of the year. Wonderful. We will do many things tomorrow. Thank you all very much. See you tomorrow and have a nice rest. A good association with the wonderful devotees who have come for this Sangha Mela. And Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.